Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA, and we're going to be talking about catalogs today a little bit and a couple other topics, so I hope you hang on with me. But first, let's have some fun, and we'll go over to the YouTube people, and here we go.
1979, my mother opened this Dunkin'. People would think that it was my dad's store.
I always say our Dunkin' is the social hub of Wellsboro.
We're part of the woodwork.
You're back.
Glenn, is this your small black coffee?
Our donut case?
It's a talking piece.
I really enjoyed owning the shop. I almost got fired by my own mother.
Here comes somebody.
Yep. It's a great business. Dunkin' has provided me with a full life.
It was my grandma's, then my mom's, and now I own it.
Whoops, I missed the tagline here. There you go. America runs on Dunkin'. Okay, so this is a real huge, or you could say huge, departure from the last Dunkin', which I can't find now. Here you go. And celebrities out, communities in for Dunkin's new heartwarmer System One group, Dunkin'. You know, I was doing that ad yesterday for Don Julio, or I have a friend whose name is Julio, and I thought it would be Julio, but he's from Brazil, and so it's in Brazil it's Julio, and in Mexico it's Julio. So I probably mispronounced that tequila, but if you want to know why, it's because I'm so international in my brain and in my friends. Anyway, I should tag him. Don't know if he's in you. I have to look him up. Anyway, so here's the mom and daughter, and the grandmother started this store. So anyway, excellent, fun commercial. I have to admit, I cried a bit. I looked up Wellsboro, and it's, you know, it's like 100 miles north of State College, so it's in the middle, but up at the very top of Pennsylvania, and it's pretty remote. And yes, I did see the little Dunkin' Donuts store across from this, or in the CVS parking lot. And so anyway, the Super Bowl ad I didn't like. I did comment on it, I think, with J-Lo, Ben Affleck, and Affleck's fake pop group, the Dunn Kings. I didn't get that at all when I watched it. So you learn something new every day here. This new ad couldn't be more of a tonal shift. It's a complete move from the megastars to ordinary folk. And from goofing around to the serious business of owning a family-run Dunkin' outlet. Behind the scenes, Ben Affleck's still involved. His creative agency, Artists Equity, made the ad for Dunkin', which I thought was excellent and cool. And it made me think more highly of Ben because, you know, I love this ad. I really love this ad. But the ad takes itself completely seriously, and the only star power comes from the natural charm of the women narrating the Dunkin' ad. Amen. We're hearing from a mother who took over the Dunkin' shop in a small town from her own mom. And the daughter she's handing it to. Unusually for a consumer ad, the commercial had a similar vibe to some of the more successful B2B ads we've seen. Yeah, I would say, you know, about how this franchise was not only a good investment but a good life. Though you got to be into getting up really early. I've heard stories of people trying to be a Dunkin' Donuts shop owner, and it's you know, you got to get up at 4 a.m. or something. Although I've also heard dairy farmers, you know, who went into the military and said, they let me sleep till 5. It's like sleeping in. So, you know, there are things as hard or harder than a Dunkin' franchise. But anyway, This would be solid ad for potential Dunkin' franchisees, and I guess I would agree with that. That's kind of what I thought of right off the bat. On the other hand, it goes well beyond that. turning the spotlight onto the job itself, not on the job itself, but on the other people who make it worthwhile, the customers. And you don't see enough of that in advertising, I'll tell you. Dunkin's identity is bound up in the way it serves its communities, getting the day started for people of all walks of life. And the ad is about greeting their familiar customers, helping kids have a great birthday, giving seniors a list. America runs on Dunkin'. You know, and I've always appreciated just the name because I'm a donut dunker when I give myself the privilege of a donut. My dad grew up, I grew up with my dad who ate crawlers, we called them. I think it's really Kruller. I think it's a German donut. It's kind of spicy and not so sweet, but then drenched in just like a sugar glaze. It tastes kind of dry. There's nothing like Dunkin' Donuts, not even close. But when you dunk them in coffee, they're great. And that's how I learned. That's how I learned about Dunkin', was from my dad. So it scored a 4.5 star rating, outscoring, I think this says, but it says outsourcing, the Super Bowl commercial, and rating well over the 2.7 star average for its category. Well, yeah, if the average for the category is 2.7 and this got a 4.5, that's like stellar, literally stellar. The ad also got a great brand fluency and also a spike rating for the short-term sales. So strongly branded and mouth-watering. Yeah, I think it was great. It's an effective change of pace for the Dunkin' brand and a reminder that while buzzy guest stars might drive conversation, for heartfelt and effective emotional advertising, sometimes you can get better results just by letting ordinary people tell their simple stories. Excellent, excellent. Now here's the sort of the rating, and I have to get this bigger because I can't really see it. Bonk, I'll make it really big. For me, you can't see it any better. I'll try and make it bigger for you. There we go. It's a little bigger for you. Okay, so here it is. Oops. That's not it. That's just a commercial for the nuts. I didn't get the report, and I'm not going to try and get it. I'm not going to try and get it for you because it's like impossible. Very difficult to use these articles as a PDF. But anyway, thank you, Freddie Lawton, for that article. And it sounds like the ratings were really good. We kind of covered it. But I wanted to see the brand, you know, how fast they recognize the brand. I'll circle back for my own curiosity, which I have a lot of. Okay, here's something sent to me by Feroz from On Point. The ANA is fighting government attempts to tax advertising. In general, businesses deduct all advertising, but Nebraska is proposing a 7.5 tax on all advertising services in the state for companies with over $1 billion in U.S. revenue. So you're going after big retail mostly. And maybe some big catalogs. You know, this one's a little hard for me because, you know, when Justice Kennedy completed his triumph to undo the sales tax world in America, you know, the EU decided against sales tax jurisdictions because there were almost 20 of them. In the United States, there's 12,000. Counties can tax, cities can tax, states can tax, sales tax. So I know some printers have told me that they try to estimate the sales tax for each sales tax jurisdiction for each catalog printed or mailed to a particular state. I don't know where that's gone. I know that was a nightmarish scenario for mailing into states. That seems to me to be totally unconstitutional. So here's one of those where you know, it doesn't really make me cry that digital should have to sort through the nightmare they imposed on direct mail companies, but and printers and a host of other, basically almost every company. It literally put Whitetail, legendary Whitetails. I think they overreacted to it, but that's not uncommon. I know another company that in the Y2K basically sold their company because they'd been told by, I think, IBM that they would have to spend $1 million or $2 million just making sure their insurance software would transition to Y2K. That was in the year 2000. It wasn't true. They should have talked to me. I saved a company $100,000 estimate. And you know, it turned out that you could do it really, really easy ways in the core operating system. But anyway, so sometimes these threats are more than they are made out to be. And the news specializes in the projections and the proposals rather than the actual implementation most of the time. But anyway, I don't know where to land on this one. I'll ask Lisa. Lisa Smith is my ANA representative that tells me all about what's really going on behind the scenes. I also wanted to share that Williams-Sonoma is given a continued hold rating by stock analyst Simon Gutman. And he says it's because they've managed to he thought that they would lose margin with inflation. But the actual reporting has contradicted his earlier expectation of margin contraction to 2019 levels. So there you go. So Williams-Sonoma is keeping its margins up and its tax price up. And Williams-Sonoma is known for its e-commerce websites and its direct mail catalogs. So that's cool. And I'll be talking about Mark Ritson Monday. And he says, don't ever listen to the don't ever listen to a marketing guy's stock predictions. I'm going to make this bigger for myself now that we're off and running. It's getting harder to read the fine print. Okay, this is from Canada Post, and every time I talk about the great Canada Post case studies in Insight magazine, of which I have several stacked up, I'm going to say, why doesn't USPS do this? There's two things here that are really important. One is that they do talk about case studies and the impact of mail. The other is, although I think the PMG at USPS doesn't like catalog, doesn't like direct mail, thinks that they should make their money in the free digital services, I guess. I don't know how he thinks it can all work. I guess package delivery, maybe that's it. Anyway, the company needed a better way to connect where its products would land in potential customers' homes. In recent years, StructureTube marketed exclusively through digital. Exclusively through digital. Okay, so they were making that work. But now they're returning to direct mail in what can only be described as a big way. Okay, they made a full-size 8 by 10 inch catalog. Nice spread. I like the groupings, okay, with the call-outs on some of the options of other features. I think that's well done. I'm not critiquing the catalog, although I certainly could. I think the furniture, it looks to me like 50s style, because and the article calls it a modern style, which I think is funny. Because to me it looks like, you know, the furniture when I was a kid around my relatives' homes. The ones who are doing fairly well. So working with Canada Post, this is the other thing. Why doesn't USPS refer people to qualified partners? You know, why don't they send me people who have questions about direct mail? No, instead they try to educate salespeople on the nuances that it takes 40 years to learn. And they'll never have that sunken feeling in their gut when they put a couple of 100,000 catalogs in the mail for real money and nothing happens. Nothing for a couple of days. Nothing for maybe a week, maybe a little more. And then all of a sudden, stuff happens. It takes a certain kind of faith, right? Faith by hearing, and hearing from putting mail in the mail. There's no other way around it, I don't think. Okay, so anyway, working with the Canada Post, they used exclusive Canada Post data and targeting tools. No idea what those are. Happy to hear about it from Canada Post. If anybody out there is from Canada, like David Foley, maybe you can inform me about what Canada Post has that we don't have. We actually decomposed the PRISM data for the Hudson Bay Company back in the 90s, mid-90s. It was one of our first big clients, the Hudson Bay. And so we figured out geodemographics by postal code. We sort of backed our way into it. It worked out really well. And it was their first foray into that kind of modeling. We also worked out their trading area, which is not so simple. You know, if you live in the suburbs, your home might be out next to a small Hudson Bay store, the Bay they call it. But it's the one that goes back to the 16th century. 16th century, can you believe it? They were like 80 years old when the Pilgrims landed, just to put it in perspective. But anyway, so we worked on not only the latest purchase, because you might buy at the downtown store, even though you lived in the suburbs, you might work downtown. And so we wanted to mail you the specials from there. But we also, in case you went on vacation in the Yukon or someplace and bought a couple of things, you know, when you got there at the Bay out there, we had a rolling average of 2 months that we watched sort of where you went. So it was quite elaborate, actually, probably way more than they deserved. Anyway, it generated a 70% lift in traffic. Again, I always want to know if that's an incremental lift. Did you mail around every store? Or did you only mail, or did you leave out some customers? Did you not mail some stores? That would be important. You know, Canada Post is a little light on testing, I have to say, or at least on revealing the test. I want to see incremental gain because it could be a big bump in their budget. Hopefully not. Hopefully they shifted it from digital to mail and got the 70% lift. I hope that's right. Anyway, customers would often come in talking about the different products, a catalog in hand to talk about the specific products they noticed, and it also drove traffic to the retailer's website. And again, we don't know how much. But anyway, great case study, another great case study. You can go to canadapost.ca/insight to get more datagrams, case studies, and marketing insights. Okay? Way to go, Canada Post and USPS. Get your act together. Direct mail is one of the main legs of your stool. Let's work together. Sorry you didn't pick me for the National Postal Forum speaker list. Maybe I'm a little miffed. Have a great day. Nevertheless, like, repost. Your friends will know you're smart. Bye-bye.